It's time now for business. Cammy Knight joins us. Good evening to you, Cammy. Great to see you as always. A day after the UK revealed its budget. Controversial it's been, as usual perhaps. Two of Wall Street's biggest banks are announcing expansion plans in London.
That's right. Let's start with a particularly big announcement from JP Morgan. It's revealed plans to build a vast new headquarters in London's Canary Wharf. We're talking about a 3 million square foot tower, which would make it London's biggest office block, due to be completed in the 2030s for about $3 billion. You can see there that's an artist's impression of the tower released by the company. It'll house half of the bank's employees in Britain, which is about 12,000. And JP Morgan says it could inject nearly £9.9 billion into the UK economy over the next few years. Meanwhile, rival Goldman Sachs also announced it would expand its Birmingham office, hiring 500 staff there to double its workforce in the city in the next few years. The timing of these announcements, of course, isn't coincidental. It comes just hours after Chancellor of the Exchequer Rachel Reeves revealed her budget plan. She had been considering an increase, increasing a tax on banks, but they argued it would hurt lending and economic growth and ended up being spared of those hikes. Reeves has now called the bank's announcements a multi-billion pound vote of confidence in the UK economy. She and the Prime Minister have been doing the rounds this Thursday defending the budget plan. Take a listen.
What we're doing is growing the economy. The forecast for the economy this time last year was that in 2025 it would grow by 1%. We said we want to defy that forecast. The numbers came in yesterday. It was 1.5%. So that's 50% over the forecast. That's the spirit in which we go forward from this budget. I'm optimistic about this country.
Moving on now, workers from French steelmaking giant ArcelorMittal demonstrated in Paris this Thursday as French MPs discussed the possibility of nationalising the company. It all comes against a backdrop of deep concern for the steel industry in Europe as cheap imports from outside the bloc undercut prices and leave the future of the sector, viewed as essential for its economic sovereignty, in doubt. Luc Trego explains.
Angry steel workers in Paris on Thursday, hoping that politicians will ultimately decide to nationalise ArcelorMittal's French furnaces and keep them operational.
What choice is there? We've seen Mittal seriously pulling out of Europe and France in particular. They've promised us investments in our tools and in decarbonising for 5 years, and we've seen nothing.
While the left wing backs the idea of taking state control, it comes with a price tag of 3 billion euros, an important step in making aging blast furnaces environmentally compliant with future European regulations by the end of the decade. ArcelorMittal's already struggling to keep its operations profitable, announcing hundreds of job cuts earlier in the year across several of its sites in France. For the head of the steelmaker's French operations, though, nationalisation will fail to address the underlying issues and solve nothing.
To give steel production a future in Europe, we need to deal with two problems: falling demand and global overcapacity, which have led to a massive import of subsidised steel at low prices, which have had a devastating effect on Europe. Cutting up our French assets and separating them from the rest of the group could only drastically worsen their situation.
Cheap imports from outside Europe have long undercut expensive domestic production. Governments have mulled over state intervention as a means to retain economic sovereignty in the strategic industry, with the UK authorities even fast-tracking legislation to keep a Chinese-owned blast furnace running rather than shut down. But none have yet taken the step of fully nationalising their respective sectors.
Venezuela has banned several foreign airlines from flying to the country, the government revoking permits for airlines including Iberia and TAP Air Portugal. The move follows warnings from the US Federal Aviation Administration about security risks in Venezuelan airspace, which prompted a number of airlines to suspend their flights. Caracas has accused the airlines of acting under US pressure, calling the suspensions an act of state terrorism. The decision leaves Venezuela with even fewer international connections as tensions with the US continue to rise. Let's finish with a look at the markets now. European stocks closing ever so slightly higher on Thursday. Investors pausing a bit after stocks got a boost from the expectation that the US Federal Reserve might cut rates in its December meeting. German athletic brand Puma, meanwhile, is attracting the interest of a number of potential buyers, at least according to reports by Bloomberg, including Chinese sports brand Antisports, which is working on a bid. Puma shares ended the day up nearly 19%, leading the European index. US markets are, of course, closed Thursday for Thanksgiving, but trading will resume tomorrow, Mark.
Cammy, thank you very much indeed. Cammy Knight with all the business. Back throughout the evening, of course, with further updates. Great to see you. Thank you, Cammy, there once again. We take a short break after that. More news and, of course, the France 24 debate.